The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today of morning prayer. Welcome to everybody who's here with us in the building. I know we have some visitors with us this morning, and it's lovely to welcome you here today. Also like to welcome those who are joining us at home on the live stream and those who are joining us through the dial-up service. And we're delighted to have everybody with us to join in our worship today. In our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit this morning about busyness and trying to seek a better work-life balance in our lives. Maybe that's something that other people struggle with too. That's going to be the theme of our service today. Just a few notices for the week that is to come. On Thursday evening, our parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom at 7 o'clock, and anybody who wishes to join, the joining details are on our screen. And our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 11 and at 7. Our opening hymn this morning is a hymn that invites us just to remember God's holy presence and who he is as we gather to worship him. As we stand to sing our opening hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear His holy word proclaimed, to bring before Him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of His Spirit, we may serve Him and know the greatness of His love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve You in newness of life, to the glory of Your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm that is appointed for today is a psalm that speaks about God's presence in our lives, making all the difference, and especially in those times when things are difficult. So we're going to stand together to say a section of Psalm 73, verses 23 to 28 together. Yet I am always with you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me with glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing upon earth that I desire in comparison with you. Though my flesh and my heart fail me, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Truly, those who forsake you will perish. You will put to silence the faithless who betray you. But it is good for me to draw near to God. In the Lord God have I made my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. If you'd like to be seated for our first reading. Our Old Testament reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 1. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, Tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I've cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people shall not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Here ends our Old Testament reading. And we're going to respond to that reading by singing our next hymn through twice, the hymn, I Will Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving in My Heart. Our New Testament reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark in the 6th chapter, beginning to read at the 30th verse. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Here ends our New Testament reading. Many people find that when they get very busy in life, one of the first things that seem to give way is that devotional or that faith or that spiritual part of our lives. So in our next little video, which we're going to see, which was presented at Diocesan Synod, we're going to hear the story of some people who actually found faith during lockdown.
Yeah, well, I sort of just grew up from a very early age, going to church, children's church, Sunday school, all that. I never really questioned the faith. It was just one of them things that we grew up within the family. Everybody was a Christian. I wasn't allowed to question it, really, if you know what I mean. But I don't think it done me any harm. It didn't annoy me. Then got married, moved house a few times, and basically sort of the last move, I then just sort of dropped off going to church for about 10 years. Yeah, well, I actually started work watching on Zoom on a Sunday morning. A friend of mine put a wee message up on Facebook. So of course I gives my mate a wee ring. I says, "What's this, Colin?" And he says, "Yeah," he says, "no problem." So he gave me the link and Sunday morning I come on. And immediately people just started talking to me over Zoom, you know. And I thought, you know, it was actually a nice way to start. Because it was a sort of, when I came through the door here in the gathering first, I sort of knew people. You weren't just walking in with just one friend, you sort of already had made a few friends. If it wasn't for Zoom, I wouldn't be here.
On Sunday morning, I was going in for a walk with my dogs, and my wife asked me to put the service on for her. So I put the service on for her and went for my usual walk. And when I came back, she said, I would have enjoyed the service was for me. So that afternoon I was doing nothing, so I went upstairs to the bedroom and I lay in the bed and put the TV on and I got the service on and watched the service. Now that day the rector done the service and at the end she said she was going to say a prayer and if anyone wanted to say the prayer with her, please do. So I felt that things was working for me. And I said that prayer and I accepted Jesus into my life. And I waited for the next day. I rang the rector and told her what I'd done. And I had married anyone I meet, I share with what God has done for me.
As I've came now to the gathering, I sort of my faith has actually strengthened. Coming here on Sunday really does set you up for the week. You know, it gives you a wee bit of fulfillment and a wee bit of joy on a Sunday there, and you say, right, I'm ready to go, you know.
I'm a big Liverpool fan. I love Liverpool, and Liverpool sings a song, and I call it the National Anthem. They sing a song, "You Never Walk Alone." I know now, with accepting Jesus into my heart, that I'm not walking alone. He is with me, and every day I'm not walking alone.
So there are all sorts of ways in which people come to faith in Jesus and indeed over these strange times Even in these times, many people are finding their hope and their faith in him. So we're going to stand now to take the opportunity to declare our faith in him in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. In our special collect prayer for today, the seventh Sunday after Trinity, we ask God to deepen within us a real sense of his presence in our lives. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy, keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And as we prepare to receive God's word into our lives, we're going to sing our next hymn, Faithful Shepherd, Feed Me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes whenever I hear the Bible readings for a particular Sunday, you can feel as if they were almost somehow meant for you. And at times, those readings maybe bring great encouragement and comfort when we're working through difficult things in our lives. But then other times, the Bible readings maybe put their finger on something that we really struggle with. And if I'm being honest, I'd rather ignore it altogether. But there it is sometimes right in front of you, and you're reading it or you're hearing it, and then you feel that it's important to try and really do something about this. And today in our gospel reading, Jesus puts his finger on something that I really wrestle with, and I suspect that I'm probably not alone. That issue of busyness and overstretching ourselves, thinking we can do more perhaps in an hour than we really can, and then we run late for the next thing, and on it goes. But I want to take an honest look at this morning and to see if I myself, and hopefully everybody else too, can take to heart one of the most beautiful invitations that we find in the scriptures. And maybe we'll all together be able to find something in this powerful section from Mark's Gospel that we can take away with us for the week ahead. There are a lot of people who I speak to who tell me that their life is very busy. And it can sometimes be almost like a badge of honor that we wear when we talk about the hours that we work or the things that we achieve in a week. And I remember some time ago coming out of the Ulster Hospital, and I saw this very striking billboard as I ran to the car. And it was a billboard that was sponsored by the Chest, Heart, and Stroke Association. And it had a man looking at a photograph of his late wife and saying aloud, "If only she hadn't been so busy." But what are the signs in our lives that we are too busy? Our gospel reading today suggests one or two, and I'm going to make one or two myself and see if they resonate with you this morning. Verse 31 of that gospel reading from Mark chapter 6 tells us that because so many people were coming and going, they did not have a chance to eat. And they, in this case, are Jesus' disciples. Do you ever have days like that, where you're flying around doing so many things that you never have enough time to sit down and to eat a proper meal? I remember again some time ago reading an interview, I think in the Belfast Telegraph, with the former First Minister, Peter Robinson. And he had, just prior to this interview, he had suffered a heart attack. And in the interview, he spoke about his lifestyle and how very often at that stage he was working very late at night. He was making transatlantic phone calls. He was in all sorts of negotiations about different agreements. And when he was working these very strange and unusual hours, he would send his staff out to get a takeaway late at night, and he would munch on his takeaway as he worked at his desk. If we don't have time to sit and to eat properly, maybe we are too busy. Here's another one that I notice in my own life where I get so immersed in what I'm doing that I don't give proper time and attention to the people closest to me. And so, for example, when I have another meeting and I don't get home on time for Lucy's 8:30 feed, which I like to do for maybe a few times in a row, that's not good. Or when Connor asks me to join him for a game of something and I tell him that I've got to go and work on the computer, or I've got to go to a meeting, and that's always my reply, that's not a good thing. It's not a good message to those who we love most when we seem to have time for everyone else but not for them. And that's one that I need to be constantly aware of, just as I think we all do. So it is really important to be able to say no, or to take control of our diaries and frame things in more manageable structures, whether that involves delegation, asking people to wait, or whatever. But as Jesus recognized the busyness in his disciples' lives, let's listen to his gracious invitation. This is what he said to them. He said, "Come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come away with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." You see, the thing is, we all need quiet time with Jesus to refuel us and to infill us for living for him in our workplace, in our homes, in whatever sort of ministry that he might have called us to. And if we don't make that time with him every day, in reality, our busyness can just be a smokescreen for other issues in our lives. So I want to encourage you, just as I try to encourage myself, to safeguard that time with God every day. And he will honor it, he will bless you, and he will equip you for all the different demands of your life. One of the things that this Bible reading tells us when we look at the second section of the reading from verses 53 to 56 is that whenever we try to get away or to lessen our busyness, there will always be good things that will continue to compete for our attention. And in this case, where Jesus was talking to his disciples, it was those who brought the sick to Jesus. And very often, it's interesting that it is the poor, the sick, the vulnerable, who are able to recognize most immediately their need of his help. They don't have to try and mask their challenges in the way that some of us do. And there is such an openness and a receptivity to his power and teaching that they just need to touch the hem of his cloak and they're healed. So I wonder, how can we in our own lives be more honest with Jesus and really ask genuinely for his help with this issue of overstretching ourselves in our lives? Some years ago, when I was in another parish, I did a course on leadership. And when I was doing that course, at the time I remember, I had what was called a peer cell or an accountability group that used to ask me very important questions. And in this group, apart from striving for excellence in the workplace, they also asked me questions about how much time was I spending at home? How much time was I investing in my relationship with God? How many things, in terms of the daily tasks that I had, was I able to offload and delegate to those who could actually do them better, more successfully more efficiently than I could because of their particular gifts. And as I continue all these years later to struggle with these things, one of the resources that I have found to be really helpful or useful is this little book. It's a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I think that's a fantastic title, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And John Mark Comer, who wrote this book, has also produced a series of podcasts on the same topic called Fight Hustle and End Hurry. And again, I found those to be very helpful and insightful conversations about this struggle. And I know that on our parish website, Gillian has posted some of the materials that John Mark Comer writes, and he really writes very well on this particular struggle. But I wonder if perhaps as a community, we can all try to help each other, to mobilize and encourage each other to do what Jesus asks us to do in our reading this morning. Come away with Jesus by ourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your holy word, the Bible, and we thank you for the way that it teaches us, it challenges us, it inspires us to look at how best to live our lives and to fulfill your purposes. So today we ask very simply for your help to live a more balanced life. Help us to be mindful of the importance of balance and rest in the midst of our busyness. Help us to make time every day to hear your word, to pray, and to stay in touch with you. We pray for the discipline and for the wisdom to make this a priority in our daily lives. And we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray particularly for situations of turmoil and upheaval. We pray for peace in South Africa after violence and unrest on the streets in recent weeks. And we pray for all political and community leaders to use their influence for good and to bring about a restoration of peace and law and order. We also want to pray at this time for our neighbors in Europe who have suffered so much in recent days with serious floods. And so we pray for families who have been bereaved in Germany and Belgium. We pray too for those anxiously awaiting news of loved ones who are missing. And we pray for the emergency services trying to help people who have lost everything. We ask you to be with them in the trauma and to give wisdom and support for practical responses that will make an immediate difference in such a difficult situation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray today for all who are struggling with long COVID, for those who feel weak and debilitated all the time, and for their families who are caring for them. We pray too for those who have recently been bereaved, as we remember the family of Bridie McCollum, who was laid to rest yesterday. We pray too for the family of Pastor James McConnell and the congregation of Whitewell Tabernacle. And we pray for the family and friends of Jim Crow, whose funeral takes place next Wednesday. Lord, we ask you to comfort and to surround these families in their great loss with your care and with your presence. And in the quietness, let us bring before God those who are particularly on our hearts and in our minds, and who, just like the crowds in our reading, need to touch the hem of Jesus' cloak to know his healing and peace in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is a prayer for that balance in our lives as we stand to sing together the hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining with us in our service today, and thank you to all who have joined with us at home and wherever you have been listening today. We're going to bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Our closing hymn for today's service is the hymn, Lead Us, Heavenly Father, Lead Us.